Are you looking to keep up with key trends in the marketplace? Are you striving to maintain your competitive edge at work? Looking for a career change but unsure about your next move? The Skillsharp podcast is here to help you. Join industry insiders Brian, Todd, and Mike, who will guide you through new strategies for career success.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Skillsharp the Podcast. At Podcast Skill to always stay sharp.
Hello and welcome to Skillsharp the Podcast, where your industry insiders, Mike Daniels, Todd Nakasone, and I discuss professional insights and strategies to help you achieve career success. Today we have Lisa Gillette here. Lisa is the CEO of Big Sky Coaching and Consulting. Lisa has worked in the corporate arena for over 25 years, with the last 10 years as an executive in sports media. As one of the few women in a leadership role, she became intimately familiar with the special challenges all women face in the workplace, particularly women in positions of authority. She has dedicated much of her career to building and developing high-performing teams that are diverse and inclusive. She has now stepped out on her own as an entrepreneur to launch Big Sky Coaching and Consulting. Quoting Lisa, "I want to see greater diversity in leadership. That's the first step in creating the systematic change so needed at this time. I especially encourage every woman who wants to create the career of her dreams to embrace a leadership mindset, honor expertise, and show her potential to stand up, speak up, and ask for the salary and title she deserves. I applaud all men who support women in their quest to achieve their professional goals." Lisa, so happy to have you. Welcome to Skillsharp.
Oh, thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Lisa, so let's begin with your corporate career, where you ascended the ladder to essentially one of the highest marketing positions at one of the top sports broadcasting companies in the world. So what techniques, strategies, or other best practices did you use to be successful in the role? And what have you leveraged to launch your own entrepreneurial endeavor?
Oh, I did that in two ways. I was focused in my corporate career really in on air. And that was the message. That was the first thing in television. And now television is a little bit passe, and now everybody's watching a streaming service. But we still have these promos that tell us, here's what you can see tomorrow. And when you work in sports, everybody's got their favorite sports team. So the last 15 years of my 25-year career in broadcasting cable television and DBS was spent in sports. And basically, all you really needed to do was to just say, it's the Raiders taking on the Cowboys, tune in. And you had an audience. But sometimes you had lesser teams that people didn't want to see, and you had to promote them. And so one of the things that was really important in marketing is that you've got to be really clear on who you're marketing to, what they understand is the most important reason that they're watching their team, or they can't see their team, why do they want to watch another team? So you've got to really press that excitement and the love of the sport and the athleticism, all the hallmarks of what's so great about whatever sport it is, whether it's racing or baseball or football or hockey or whatever, or football, soccer, whatever it is. So kind of having that mind frame, one of the things that was really important to me once I started my own business was to really know who my ideal client was. And one of the reasons that I decided to become a coach and now I'm moving into speaking is because in 2007, about 6 years before I left corporate, I really needed a coach. I really needed some insight and support about where my career was going, because the competitor to the company I was working at sent a recruiter after me with a job offer. And I really, you know, I did the list, pros and cons, staying where I was, moving to the next job. But I just needed support. And then I realized when I had left corporate, I mean, let me be very honest with you, I played hooky. Those are my grandmother's terms. I traveled the world. I slept late. I went to the gym. Then I went to yoga. Then I walked on the beach. Then I traveled some more. I mean, I just had fun. And my college roommate said, you know, Lisa, you were always so involved in mentoring women and men. You started that mentorship at your last job where you actually intended to get more women into senior management. What are you doing, girlfriend? And I was like, oh yeah, I did say that. So that's when I decided to get a coaching certificate. And I also became an NLP practitioner, which is neuro-linguistics programming, which is an awesome tool that works very well with coaching. And I knew that my ideal client was actually me when I was in my 40s, trying to make this career decision. And so knowing the kind of language that would have resonated with me at that point, I was able to craft material to reach out to that client and to speak to that client. And so I would say for anybody starting a business, whether it's coaching or something else, whether it's a service or a product, you want to know three things. Obviously, what are you selling? Also, obviously, who are you selling to? And then the third criteria, which most of us do not think about, why do they want to buy it from you? So what are you selling? Who are you selling it to? And why do they want to buy it from you? And I'll just speak very directly. Executive coaching has been an industry. It's one of the fastest growing, along with coaching in general. And there are a lot of really talented people in it. And so my niche as a coach is that I was actually not only in the trenches as a room producer working for Showtime, I was also a writer producer working for what at the time was the leading pay-per-view service. It was called Viewer's Choice. It's now called In Demand. And then I went from there to head of a creative services department. And I always knew who the viewer was because we had a research department. And so I could know what they were watching. I would know what their viewing habits were. I would know where to get promos that would find those viewers. And I had to take that mindset as a coach because you have to be able to market yourself or people won't know what you have to offer. So that was, I'll say, a learning curve for me, and I'm still learning it. But it's really fun. And I had the experience of being in some very, I will say, male dominated and male oriented environments, like sports television, like broadcast engineering, like tech. And I had to learn to code switch or speak the language so that I was understood, heard, and seen. And so that's, you know, how I approach my business is who am I selling to and why do they want to get it from me? And I bring my experience with me.
Exactly. I think you bring up a great point. Taking time to build the perceived value internally with your collaborators, your partners, is so important because people need to understand exactly what's needed at the time and what value that you bring to that decision making. I also think the code switching term that you used has become very prevalent because now it's very important for the creatives to be able to speak to the technical people or the finance people to understand what the creators are doing. So all the things that you're mentioning are critical. Now, if you had a chance to have a coach like yourself at the time, how would that person have added value to your overall development and growth and management of your role?
That is a really, really good question. I am going to start with the first question because, your second question, which is if I had a coach. This is, 2007 is what, 14 years ago? Let me just date myself a little bit here. As I like to say, I am still learning. I am still growing. I am not dead yet. So one of the things that I really needed from my coach that at the time I did not get was I needed to do a deep dive into my values and my priorities. So when I coach right now, the first thing I say with anybody I coach, and I have coached men, but but I tend to focus more on women just because that's my experience and that's what I know. But the question really is what do you want in your career? Why do you want that? In other words, what's your intention? What's your motivation? And then the third question is, and what are you willing to do to achieve that? And you have to continually ask yourself this. And unfortunately, the coach that I selected really was looking at my lifestyle, which, let's face it, I was working in sports television and I worked 70-hour weeks. That's just the reality. Because when there's a live event, I was in master control. So being told to, hey, try some Tangled lessons, get out of your head for a little bit. Not the most useful thing to be talking about. So what I've done with myself, I mean, the reason that I wanted to climb the corporate ladder was because I saw lots of decisions from senior management that made no sense. I'd have conversations and I would ask, what's the objective here? What's the end goal? And then I was able to make recommendations about, well, one way that we could get there is by doing this particular task versus the one you've requested. And it will help us get that much closer to the goal because it will deliver on these objectives you've stated you wanted to grow the business. So for me to identify the priority, and then you've got to do a values dive. You have to know, what is most important in your life? Is it your family? Is it that, you have elderly parents and you want to make sure that they're taken care of? What are your priorities? And then you go a little bit deeper than that, and you need to ask, what triggers you? And I know for me, a big trigger was when somebody would say something and then do exactly the opposite. In other words, the leadership style of do what I say, not what I do, that lit me up like a Christmas tree. So you have to understand what triggers you so that you go, oh, when I hear these things or when I interact with people who do a certain thing, I am going to get triggered. Let me be aware of it. Let me identify that pattern. Let me identify how I react. And let me take a breath and choose how I'm going to respond. And I'll just say that there were a couple of times, and I'm not proud of it, where I am very sarcastic and I would say things like, you sure you want to do it like that, dude? Which you don't want to really say. That just does not make friends. It does not win over hearts. But obviously my opinion was pretty clear. And because in corporate, I had a reputation as being a rainmaker. I could get it done. Give me something difficult, whether it was technical or whether it was logistical or whether it was moving groups of people to accept some new process. I could get it done. I was listened to. I'm not exactly shy. I know some of the women I work with, there can be an inability to speak up. But I'll just say this about that. If you cannot speak to your own expertise and what you bring to the table in a business setting, corporate, entrepreneurial, startup, whatever, no one else will or can do that for you.
You're right. And that is something that within the corporate environment, I always try to balance because I didn't want to seem like I was overselling myself or promising things that I couldn't necessarily deliver. But being an entrepreneur, you have to be out there advocating for yourself and ensuring that people understand the value that you bring. But the code switching part is the challenge because this is where you're not really allowed to be your authentic self because you're always adapting to other people. So, I guess the question is, how do we navigate that? I mean, are we allowed to be ourselves or do we have to code switch to be successful?
That is a great question. And okay, so let's just look underneath the hood here. There was this awesome study that was done in 1974 at UCLA by a professor called, I don't know his first name, but his last name was Maharabian, and he has never given any credit. And everybody always moves the numbers, but they reference him. Basically, what he said is, when you meet somebody for the first time, before you open your mouth, 55% of their impression of you is based on your gender, your skin color, your clothing, your posture. 55% of what their mind is thinking about you and how they're determining, do they think you're professional or not? Do they like you or not? Do they want to work with you or not? Is based on all these things that, you know, really the only thing you can control is you can try and stand up straight and you can be dressed appropriately, right? So but gender, skin color, that's a given, right? The next 38% is based on how fast you speak, whether you have an accent, whether your tone is high or low, it's the tone of your voice. Only 7% of what they're determining to think about you is your word choice. So that's just a really long-winded way of saying, in a business setting, you got to be brief and to the point, and you need to stay on, I call it staying on script and repeating your points. And I will also share with you, this is something that most women and a few men, but mostly this is kind of gender-based, we love to share. Brian, if you told me you went out for dinner, I would want to know where you went, what you ate, what appetizer you had, what you had for dessert. Did you have coffee afterwards? Did you have a cocktail before? Did you have wine with dinner? And then once you had dinner, where did you go? Did you take a walk? Did you see a movie? Who were you with? I want all the details. In a business setting, that conversation would be, I went out to dinner. It was great. I recommend this restaurant. So that when I talk about code switching, pretty much most executives you deal with only want to know if there was a problem, you fixed it. If there was a potential problem, you told everybody about it so they could be aware of it. Or if something really great is about to happen, you shared that. But let's go back to the item one. If there was a problem, they want to know that you fixed it. That's only two bullet points. Here's the problem. Here's how I fixed it. Got any questions? So in business, this is what I call the ultimate code switching. And it works in any industry because time is money. And all jobs do two things. Some jobs do both. They either save money and time, or they generate money for the bottom line. And some jobs do both, right? So keep it brief. To the point, stay on your bullet points, stay on your script, and be prepared. If someone needs more information, they'll say, tell me more, and then you offer more. So that's something to remember, the word choice, the 7% of what people remember and think about you.
You make a great point on the nonverbal assessments that are taking place. It's so challenging when it comes to even interviewing, that people don't realize that, you know, it's the whole kind of presentation that's being assessed. So it makes, you know, obviously achieving success even more mysterious, which isn't good for us. But let me ask you, based on your clients, how do you provide some structure so they can be in as much control as possible with navigating their professional development?
I do this thing I call the four-step formula to your next promotion, but honestly, it works at home and at work, and it's really pretty simple. It starts by building trust, and literally that is showing up and being consistent and being reliable and being prepared. And if you're not prepared, being honest and say, I'm not prepared, but I'll get back to you in 5 minutes with an answer for you. It's the building trust. And then the next step is earning respect. And that comes by knowing your job and your function so well that if something does get derailed, you're able to quickly create a solution to bring it back on track. And it also means that you're able to know very well your counterparts and their direct reports, what their function is. So you see where your role in the company fits into the greater picture. You see where your department fits into the greater function of the company. And you really pay attention to industry trends and challenges so that you really do, you know, you remain curious. You know, you keep that, it's called the growth mindset. You know, I don't know everything there is to know. What could I possibly learn? I've heard of this before. What could I possibly learn, right? There's something I can learn here. I can take away something I don't know, another perspective. But then in a crisis, and we know businesses have crises every day, and it doesn't matter if you're a leader in a crisis, if you are the voice of cool, calm reason, and you have a solution that you can execute successfully, you will be seen as a leader. And that's how you get recognized and rewarded. So, you know, besides this feeling of like, wow, I need to be really careful about what I say because only 7% of my words, my actual word choice, is going to be heard. Just remember, people can change their minds. And if you come to every situation with this idea of what value can I add here, you're going to start building trust. And you'll start earning respect. And then having that knowledge of how things work, you can offer a solution in a time of high demand and get recognized and rewarded.
And this establishes a great value proposition for your business, because at the time where we're trying to figure out how to engage audiences, attract audiences, yet we're still struggling with diversity and inclusion, it strikes me as a huge contradiction that we don't have those people around the table at the specific time where we're trying to figure out how to grow audience. So what do you see as a potential solution to the current situation that we're dealing with?
One of the things that I see, because I have a real comfort with numbers. I like hard numbers. And so I do a lot of research. And when I first started on this journey and I said, you know what, you've got to get accredited as a coach, you need to be trained. And I had the big aha of, oh, Lisa, you're telling people what to do. You're mentoring them. You're guiding them. You're not coaching. Coaching is significantly different than mentoring. And I do both. But as I got into coaching, you know, I started to realize that everybody comes with a particular mindset, which is usually not embracing that level of self-awareness. But we can all find it. There's like a formula for getting there too. But one of the things in all my readings was, wow, businesses were far more successful when they reached at least 30% of diversity in senior management. I mean, this was like obvious. Their numbers were anywhere 50 to 70% higher revenue to the bottom line by just getting to 30% diversity. And by that, I mean men and women who are not Caucasian. And let's just acknowledge most CEOs are either John, Richard, or I think it's Thomas. And they all tend to pretty much have Ivy League degrees. And they're white guys. And you know what? I'm not saying they shouldn't be in senior management. I'm just saying that we need more representation is what I'm saying. Because you know, like, let's face it, I have a certain perspective as a woman. I also have certain privilege as a white woman. And I'm very aware of that privilege. And that's only thanks to my parents who shared that with me. But I am here to say that no matter who you are, what gender, transgendered or your bio gender, whatever, or your skin color, if you have that desire to step into leadership and be the change that makes the difference, I support that. We need change desperately right now. We're running out of resources. We're running out of so much. We need new thinking. We need new problem solving. And I think one really strong solution is let's get greater diversity in senior management.
And you spoke of building trust, but there is no trust when it comes to people trying to hold on to power, because a lot of their decisions will just not be as progressive and as timely as they need to be. And so that's the challenge with all these performative things that are happening with diversity and inclusion.
Well, there are many conversations going on right now. I'll just reference the dinosaur mindset. And when you're in a position of power, it can sometimes feel uncomfortable when that power is being challenged. And it's like, oh, no. It's making it better. It's making it more improved. So there's a lot of work to do, but there are many people who are willing to roll up their sleeves, men and women, and be the change that makes the difference. And that gives me such hope.
I want to advocate for something that you've been mentioning, is I think your value is even more important for a corporation or a business that wants to build high-performing teams and address some of these issues in terms of performance versus just focusing on individuals. And so as a Big Sky Coaching and Consulting, I think you can be brought into corporations and be coaching and leading the senior leadership team on a better way of navigating this challenging future. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the reasons that I am actively pursuing a career in speaking is because I can reach more people that way. And one thing that we haven't really touched on is I have a lot of hope for the fact that neuroscience, I think I mentioned to you that NLP, neuro-linguistics programming, is something that I am a certified practitioner in. I'm now becoming a master practitioner. But most days today in the coaching arena and in executive coaching, it's referenced as neuroscience. And there are so many methods that have built up around it. But the thing that's so brilliant about neuroscience is it actually rewires our brain. So if we remember that most of us get stuck in our most primitive brain in the fight, flight, freeze component, and you want to be able to take the air in, get the oxygen, and move up to the prefrontal cortex where we can use our artistry and our logical mind and our words and our strategic thinking. But many times in that moment when we get triggered, we go into that primitive brain. And let's just acknowledge many people in senior management are in this kind of make it or break it and die. Oh my God, the business is about to go up. They get stuck in the primitive brain and they're not able to access the full range of all this creativity and higher thought process. And so I think one thing that I've seen the move in corporate coaching, and these are in large organizations that have like widespread corporate clients, they are bringing neuroscience in. And what's so interesting is they're able to say, look, it's not like you really made this choice. It's just the way your brain works. Because our brain is all about keeping us alive, making sure we get the oxygen. And sometimes to get into that primitive brain, it's, we get scared, we get spooked, something happens. you know, the floor drops out of the market or something, you know, we have a new product trying to bring it to market and it doesn't quite function the way it should. But the trick is to use the neural pathways that support us moving up into the higher brain, into the prefrontal cortex, so we can actually be mindful, have a higher level of self-awareness, and make better choices. And the mindfulness, you know, there's that phrase, the mindful leader, it literally is just paying attention. That's all it is. Sometimes we forget to do that. You know, we all...
Lisa, this is fantastic information, and I think it's so critical to build a structure and a system for people to leverage mm-hmm. so they can take ownership of their professional development, but more so for people that are not in corporate and folks that are working 8 to 5, 9 to 6, how can they put this into practice for themselves day to day in their environment?
Wow, that is an awesome question. So there's a couple of little tricks that we play on ourselves. And I'm sure you've heard of that syndrome called imposter syndrome, right? Okay, yeah, we're all waving our hands here. So that's really the inner critic. That's that little voice about, I'm going to be found out, they're going to know I'm a fraud, or why did I think I could do that? So the first thing is to say, when does that little voice pop up? What's going on around me where that voice pops up? Let me recognize if there's a pattern there. Let me identify what that voice is telling me. Let me see if there's some sort of somatic in my body, a physical response to it, so I can quickly recognize it and go, oh, right, I know that little voice. And then I'm just going to ask myself, well, that might have been true as a small child, but how true is that now? Right? We also do these other three things that are not quite so horrible. We interpret. Oh, it's my fault. Oh, they don't like me. Or we make an assumption. Oh, they're yelling at me because I did something bad, not because they had a fight with their spouse before they came into work. Or a limiting belief. Gosh, and here's one that I didn't hear as a girl, as a little kid, but I know I had friends who did, girlfriends who did. Girls don't do stuff like that. Limiting belief, right? So with all of these little mind traps we get into, we want to go recognize it. And then we say, how is that serving me? Is it? If it's not, just go, okay, I know it's going to pop up. I know I'm going to hear it again. Let me recognize it, and let me just ask myself, how true is that? This is how we reorder and restructure our neural pathways.
And all of this leads to the question of when someone hasn't ever used a coach before, you know, when you have clients coming to you, how are they utilizing your services to the optimum? And what are you hearing most are the needs of your clients when it comes to, you know, navigating their current work circumstances or pressing forward on their professional development?
Oh my gosh, that is an awesome question. I definitely have many women who are struggling with, many women clients who struggle with, I'm getting interrupted. People are taking my ideas and presenting them as their own. And that happens to men too, right? That happens to men too. I don't want to say it's specific to women, but it's that, you know, how do I get seen, heard, and understood? And what that is it embracing your executive presence. I call it that, but it really starts with knowing, okay, here's what I'm really good at. And let me go back and think about all the times I accomplished something and the results of it. And then it's crafting. They talk about owning your narrative. It's really crafting just a quick list of, here's what I did at my last job. This is the results I these are the results I delivered. Here's what I did at the job before that. At every job I've ever had, I've always done these things. and various jobs at various levels. And so you really do know what you bring to the table. I call it owning your expertise, because when you speak to your past accomplishments, that shows your potential. It's like, oh my God, they're curious, they're interested, they're interesting, they understand industry trends, they're looking at challenges, they're always looking forward. And one thing I really want to share, and this is something that it's a little bit off topic, but I'm going to share it anyway. If you keep going back to, what do I want in my career? Why do I want it? And what am I willing to do to get it? You may not know every step. You may only know, I knew that I wanted to be in a leadership role so that I could make decisions that were going to impact the greater good. I didn't really know what that leadership role looked like. I didn't know where it was. Quite honestly, if somebody had told me you were going to end up in sports television, I would have laughed at them, because I am not a sports fan. I'm not. I just knew how to get it on the air. I knew how to build a post-production facility. That's what I knew. But when you can take that one step, you're going to get to a different perspective. It's going to give you a wider vision. And then your step after that will become clearer. So even in the midst of being super confused by, I want to do this thing, I don't know what it looks like, I'm not sure how to get there. One, I would say cultivate mentors and sponsors, cultivate a circle of support. These are the people you trust, who maybe are senior or junior to you or your peers. They're going to be people with you throughout your entire career, whether you're in corporate or whether you're an entrepreneur. But I think it is really essential to know you don't have to have it all figured out, but you really do need to know what your values are. You know, mine are, I'll just give you a quick synopsis, communication, integrity, equality, compassion. Those are my values. And then I know that my priority was to make it better. I wanted to make it better. So this is something that, you know, you can write pages about, go back through with a highlighter for anybody who's listening about, you know, gosh, I don't know. So many clients, that's where I start with all of them. Some of them are in a role where they like, I'm going to kill my boss. What do I do? Actually, that was me. Oh, that was a little projection. Better edit that out. You know, or sometimes there, you know, many clients are, I want to change industries. I'm not sure what's transferable. And again, it's only your expertise, because you know what works, say, in television is also going to work in tech. It's going to work in fashion. It's going to work in higher education, you know. And be aware of your blind spots, because we all have them. And that's why the circle of support is so important, because they should be giving you the honest truth.
Yeah, we need feedback that, number one, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves, but two, yes, to be able to have, you know, specific, yes, feedback from, you know, board, correct, of directors, like, you know, someone that, a collection of people that can give you different perspectives on where you are and, you know, what you may be up against and how you're, give you a barometer on how you're looking at it is really important. So what you've done is you've created these systems of coaching and training. I mean, it's almost like a curriculum. So, I mean, throughout your training, you know, what are you finding that's most effective for people, and where are you growing your sphere of influence?
I do a lot of trainings, and the one thing I say in every single training, whether it's how to get promoted or how to set boundaries or how to quiet your inner critic or how to find a mentor or a sponsor, the one thing that I always say is nothing is one and done. You don't make Sunday dinner for your family and go, great, I'm never cooking again. That's it. I made the one meal. That's it. Well, some people do, but not successfully, because then they're making reservations or Grubhub or something. So, and it's just like when you go to work, it's not like you just get out of bed once and put on the suit and go to work. No, you do it every day. So it starts with the mindfulness, and all that is paying attention. Like, oh, I got triggered. oh, I heard a phrase that reminded me of something my very first boss said to me, and that didn't sit well. Okay. The other thing that I want to share, which we all forget this, and I know we've heard the phrase, put the oxygen mask on yourself first, right? Because if you're given 120%, but you haven't fueled up, you haven't had enough sleep, you haven't had enough water, you haven't had enough exercise, you haven't spent enough time in whatever you want to call it, prayer, meditation, reflection, and that is really important. You have to do all of those things. If you're not keeping your tank full, then you're going to suffer burnout, and you're fooling yourself if you think you're giving 120% because you're probably only giving 90 until the day you fall over and crash and burn. So none of this is one and done. But, you know, here's the thing that I think is, for me, most empowering about coaching. When I can ask that one question that makes my client open up a window and see a bigger perspective, see a wider view. And this is why I called it Big Sky. One, because my dad is from Montana, but also two, when you see the big picture, you find the opportunities. You got to do the panoramic view, right? So if I ask that one question that makes them go, oh, wait, I hadn't thought of it that way. I hadn't seen it from that perspective. This is called, in coaching, this is a reframe. You open up the frame, right? Then I have done my job.
Lisa, so let's make this clear. I'm in the market for a coach. How do I go about finding the person that's the best for me?
Oh, that is a really good question. So I basically I have what's called the signature program. And if anybody is going out to think about hiring a coach, I would definitely recommend that anybody listening to this podcast say to a potential person they would hire as a coach, can you tell me about your signature program? And literally what this is, I have 5 steps. The first step is really starting with the deep dive. What are your priorities and values? And then what do you want in your career? Why do you want it? And what do you need to do to get it? So that's really starting with mindset and potential. And then from there, we go into the next phase of what impact do you have on people? Because many times we forget that we could possibly say something to someone and they could misinterpret it. They could make an assumption about us that's totally wrong. We could trigger some limiting belief in them, or we could light up their inner critic. And if we're not paying attention, this is not going to serve us. So I had a really brilliant executive in tech. She was brilliant, but people were afraid of her because she was so abrupt. One thing I haven't talked about is the likability liability, and I don't want to sidetrack too much there, but let's just acknowledge anybody diverse is held to a higher standard. It just is. We walk a balancing beam. But particularly with this client, she was Hispanic, very powerful, got it done, and scared the you-know-what out of people. And so what I would talk to her about is, so what do you think your impact is on them? Your team, your colleagues, senior management, because she was just the layer under senior management. You know, what do you think they're saying about you when you're out of the room? Oh my God, she scares us to death, but she's bringing in the deals. So what would you rather they say? So it's being mindful to understand how you impact people, because if you have a positive impact, then you have a really great influence over them. You can motivate them and inspire them, right? So, and then here's one other metric. I think I might have mentioned this, but I'm going to say it again because it's so important. The number one skill set of all successful leaders, and this is McKinsey, Harvard Business, Gallup, and Pew, is self-awareness, meaning they understand their impact on others. And they're really good at code switching. So if they're talking to someone in tech, they're talking about how they technically execute. If they're talking to someone in marketing, they talk about how they create the promotion to create that warm, fuzzy feeling about the brand. If they're talking to someone in legal, they're going to talk about the deal points, right? So it's being able to code switch, really important. So first, starting with mindfulness, mindset, you know, what are you thinking about yourself, and then your impact on others. And then it really gets into, okay, so now you're in the corporate arena and you've used this term. How do you read the room? So important. You might have the best idea, but you walk into that boardroom and you go, oh, the temperature is really frosty today. I don't think I'm going to bring in that really hot idea I had. I think I'm going to wait on that. I'll wait on that till next week. Or maybe I'll send an email later about this to, you know, the one power player in the room and copy a colleague. I think I'll do that. You got to be able to read the room. And that's just really using your five senses and paying attention again. Ooh, mindfulness. And then from there, it's really learning to navigate corporate culture. Because once you read the room, then you're able to go, okay, here's what they say they reward, but here's what this company actually rewards. And you have to ask yourself, is this a place I want to grow my career? Let me look at the rock stars, the people who are really excelling. Do they align with my values the way they are or not? If they don't, then it's time to dust off your resume, get another job, find another company. I'm just being honest. And then at the end of it, the last thing is the negotiation process. And one thing I have shared with everyone, and men are much more comfortable asking, women are not. So what I say to women is put a big smile on your face when you get that offer and say, I am so excited about this opportunity, but I do have one question. Is there any upward movement in this number? And then lean back and stop talking. And don't take the first offer. There's always room. There's always room. They will tell you at the very beginning of the negotiation that they're going to give you best and final. They'll say that to you.
Correct. Yeah, I try to share this as much as I can with my clients. Just be upfront. Know your value, ask the right questions, and the recruiters or hiring managers will usually be straight up with you as well. So it's much better. So none of us are wasting each other's time. You know, just be upfront, but definitely ask the question. I think that's the most critical part. Well, Lisa, you sound happy. What do you like most about coaching?
So here's the thing about coaching, which is so awesome. My intention with all my clients is that they learn how to coach themselves, right? And so if they're starting to realize that that little voice telling them, oh, you did so bad, why did you think you were going to do that, is actually hurting them, they're going to go, all right, well, that's not necessarily a way I want to talk to my staff. They're going to make that connection. And you know, when I talked about a signature program, unless I was doing some sort of group program, and I've done them in the past, I tend to really customize per the client. So there may be a client who's got, really understands their expertise, really understands what they want, is really good at reading the room, but is not that great at being able to navigate the culture. And for some reason feels like, no, I thought this was the dream job, but it's just not aligning with my values, but I thought this was the dream job. I'm going to focus on that aspect for them. You know, but the idea is that as you start to have more compassion for yourself, you actually start to have more compassion for other people. Because, you know, there's that, I'm not sure who said this, it might have been Brené Brown, I'm not really sure, but unless you have compassion for yourself, you truly are not going to feel compassion for anybody else. You might feel sympathy, but you're not going to feel empathy or compassion.
Wow. And you brought up the biggest deficit in our society and local communities today is really that lack of empathy. So, I mean, I'm glad you said it. It needs to be changed. And this is a really, really solid case for all of us needing some coaching in some form or fashion moving forward. So Lisa, this has been wonderful and amazing. What are some final thoughts and words that you could leave with the audience?
I would just say that if you want to step into a role of greater leadership because you know you want to be the change that makes the difference, the time is now. Step up. It's needed. Step up. And you don't have to be in the C-suite if you're not comfortable doing that. If you want to play a behind-the-scenes role, but know what you bring to the table. The time is now for change. The world desperately needs it. And I encourage and support people to move into leadership roles who think, for whatever reason, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can do that. And you can reach me at lisa@bigsky.coach. And you can reach me on LinkedIn. It's Lisa Gillette at Big Sky Coaching and Consulting, or it might just be Lisa Gillette. And I've also got a website, which is bigsky.coach. It's not .com. It's bigsky.coach. I got my vanity. It's like my vanity license plate. I got my vanity website URL. And what's going on for me is I'm going to be speaking at two conferences for SMPTE in June. I believe that'll be virtual. One is in Toronto, one is here in LA. But I'm very excited to announce that in November, I will be doing a conference in Barcelona for a group called Star Global on women's health. And then another conference for the same group in Paris on women's empowerment. And then a third conference, which I just found out about this morning in Toronto in March of 2022. So I'm getting on that plane. In November, I am going to Barcelona. I have a friend who I wanted to see there last summer, and none of us were traveling. And so I love to travel. Give me a suitcase I can throw overhead and two pairs of shoes, and I am good to go. So, you know, and a lot of memory on the iPhone, and it's all good. It's all good. So please reach out. And I also do a monthly mastermind called Break the Glass Ceiling, which is completely free. So that information is also on the website, or you can email me.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. I have to mention something, you're paying homage to my father. He always used to say, every great coach needs great players. And every great player needs a great coach. So you are truly that. You are an amazing industry legend. A friend, and I wish you all the success moving forward. I encourage everyone listening to reach out to Lisa and explore how her services might be of assistance to you. Thank you again for joining SkillSharp. We've so been blessed by your information and insights. Thank you,
Brian Wright. Such a pleasure, and I so appreciate you and the work you do. And the change you're making in the world, because you are a leader, my friend. And thank you.
Thank you again, Lisa. So everyone, we've heard from Lisa Gillette, the president, CEO of Big Sky Coaching and Consulting. Please reach out to her. And we really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you for listening to SkillSharp, the podcast. Send your questions and comments to podcast@skill-sharp.com. You can follow us on Twitter at SkillSharp1 or visit us online at www.skill-sharp.com. This is Mike Daniels signing off for Todd Nakasone, Brian Wright, Alyssa Pruitt, Will Kelso, and the rest of the team at SkillSharp Studios. Until next time, stay sharp.